And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, and from starting in verse 8, we all know it. It says, you and I have been saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that we can boast. And then it goes on to say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The title of my lesson this morning is A Purpose-Driven Life. A few years ago, Rick Warren wrote a book titled A Purpose-Driven Life. And he had a lot of great stuff to say in the book. There are some things obviously in the middle that I disagree with as far as how you become a Christian. But chapter 1 is titled in his book, It All Starts With God. It reads, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. The search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. That's because we typically begin at the wrong starting point. Ourselves. We ask self-centered questions like, what do I want to do? What do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams, and my future? But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purpose, he writes. Contrary to what many popular books, movies, and seminars tell you, you won't discover your life's meaning by looking within yourself. You've probably tried that already. You didn't create yourself. So there is no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. If I handed you an invention that you had never seen before, you wouldn't know its purpose. And the invention itself wouldn't be able to tell you either. Only the creator or the owner's manual would reveal its purpose. He continues as he writes. He says, I got lost once in the mountains. When I stopped to ask for directions at the campsite, I was told, quote, you can't get there from here. You must start from the other side of the mountain. In the same way, you cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God, your creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God. And until you find that, life will never make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. I want to pay tribute to my friend this morning. Damien Jean-Baptiste. He loved God. And it's amazing to me that 6 months ago, he was in this commons area with us. He was our preacher for this year's International Sunday. Did a phenomenal job with the message. And we all came out here to eat together. And was right here mingling with a lot of us. And I got to be honest with you. I still can't believe he's gone. He's one of my heroes.
and he will always be. I found out 2 weeks ago that the doctors told him that there was nothing more they could do for him. Wanting to go see him since we heard the news. I was very fortunate. God allowed us, Sarah and myself went up to Columbia, South Carolina on Thursday, and we saw him. 2 to 4, I walked in the room. There was a smile on his face. And he was asking about another brother, another evangelist who's also battling cancer. That was the first person he asked about. I told him I loved him. I told him I was going to miss him. I read Psalm 121 to him. We prayed. He held my hand very tight. Sarah was able to talk to Carleen and share some scriptures with her. I kissed him on the forehead. And I told him farewell. I honestly thought he was going to have a few more weeks. We got home yesterday morning from the all-night prayer and, you know, I got the phone call. And obviously I couldn't sleep. I went back down into my office and I was listening to the message he preached at last year's campus conference in Athens. And I listened to the whole thing. Here was a man who truly understood the purpose of his life. And I want us to look in Hebrews 11, because that chapter talks about heroes of old. These men left legacies, just I believe that Damien has left. The question we got to ask ourselves, even as we're seated here this morning, is when it's all said and done, what will our existence count for on this earth? And I think too many times we get distracted by the pressures of this life and by things that we have to do and places we have to go and people we have to see, and we forget what's important. Because none of us is guaranteed tomorrow, brothers and sisters. If somebody were to tell me that of all of us evangelists, God was going to take Damien first, I'd say, you don't know what you're talking about. The man looked the same way exactly the way he looked since I've known him for over 20 years. Just one of those guys who just never aged. You just never know. And that's why we got to make sure that we're living out the reason why God created us in the first place. In Hebrews 11, it lists all these incredible men of old. It starts off with Abel in verse 2. He says he offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And God noticed. In verse 5, it talks about Enoch. That he was taken from this life. He didn't even experience death. The man walked so powerfully with God, God just said, let's just take him. He didn't even die. God just took him to the other side. Then right after that, in verse 7, we read about Noah. Here was a man during his generation, God considered him righteous. And God told him to build an ark to save himself and his family, which he did. And it took him many, many years to do it. Right after that, it starts talking about Abraham. My favorite character in the Bible outside of Jesus. From verse 8. He's called the father of the faithful. Father of many. That's what his name means. God told him to leave his comfortable surroundings and to go to a place where God was going to show him. And the Bible tells us that Abraham got up and he left. Amen. Why? because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And when you and I read God's word, all God has left us is a bunch of promises that we need to believe, that we need to be acting on a daily basis. Like Steve reminded us this morning, that if we love God, we will obey what God commands. That is love for God. It's not just believing that the Creator exists. It is you and I on a daily basis putting into practice what the Bible tells us to do. That was what Abraham did. And the Bible takes note of it. Here was a man who was allowed to have a son at the age of 100. And then shortly thereafter, God tells him to go sacrifice that son as a burnt offering. And what did he do? He got up and he was about to do it. The Bible tells us that he reasoned that God could raise the dead. He wasn't just going to kill him. He was going to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. That even after he killed him and he burnt him, Abraham believed that, you know what? God can still raise him up. You know the story. God says, no, you don't have to don't touch the boy. Now I know that you love me. Amen. And he looked and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And God says, you sacrifice that ram instead. As a foreshadow of what God was going to do for us in the New Testament. Where you and I are the ones that deserve to die and to be sacrificed. But God allowed his son to die instead in our place. And because of that fact, it ought to change the way we live and the way we see life. That's what Christianity is all about. That Jesus came into this world to die for sinners like you and me. And as a result of that, we have an incredible relationship with God. And one day we get to go be with this God. And one day we get to resurrect again. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thought. Right after that, it talks about the patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then in verse 23, it starts talking about Moses and Moses' parents. When they had him, they realized that he was no ordinary child, the Bible says. And they tried to keep him for several months. And when they couldn't do it anymore, they put him in a little basket. You know the story. And who found him? Pharaoh's daughter. And God works it out in such a way that Pharaoh's daughter now pays his own mother to take care of her son. The man that God was going to use to deliver Israel many, many years later. But the Bible tells us that Moses, in verse 25, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Watch this. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. You see, we have a choice, brothers and sisters. We can either choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while. But I promise you, it is going to catch up to you. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it will. You can mark it down. You can take it to the bank. Your sin will find you out. It is not worth it. Amen? Amen. Moses understood that. He says he was looking forward to his reward. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Jesus never promised that life was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, he promised the contrary. He says, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Satan wants nothing more but to take you out. And he will use whatever he can to do it. You see, All the heroes that you and I read about in Hebrews chapter 11 were always forward-looking. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They were always looking ahead. They saw him who is invisible. And so the question is, do you see him who is invisible? Is that what drives you? Or are you just playing church? Are you just playing the Christian game? We got to ask ourselves, what are we accomplishing for God? What significant thing are you doing in your life for the Almighty? God saved you and I for a reason. God sent people into our lives who reached out to us. It wasn't by accident. And now we've been Christians now for many years. For someone like Corey, a week. Less than a week, actually. But God saved every single one of us for a reason. So that we can share that grace with other people. Amen? That's why we're here. That's why we're still alive. You know, several weeks ago, I told us as a church, you know, our goal is to have 100 people studying the Bible in this church by the end of this year. How's that going? Are you sitting there going, oh yeah, he'll do it. She'll go out and study the Bible with somebody. I'm talking to you. Amen? You're able-bodied. You can see, you can hear, you can move. It's got to be you and me doing it. I'm not talking to your spouse. I'm talking to you. Pray about it. Then open up your Bible with somebody. Don't ask them, can we study the Bible? Just open up the Bible. Because if you ask them, you're going to give them an out. None of this. Well, can we get... When are you free next week? What do you mean, when are you free next week? I'm talking to you right now. My phrase always is, you got a minute? That's all I need. I want to show you a passage. Remember, it is the Bible that does the conversion. And the sooner you and I get into the Word of God with people, the sooner people are going to start changing. This thing is not rocket science. It never has been. Amen? But I think too many times we're so distracted by the things of this world. Our purpose is to love God and to bring glory to God. And one day you and I are not going to be here. That also you can take to the bank. The only thing I cannot tell you is when you are going to leave this world. But God does. See, about 2 decades ago, Damien and Carleen, my wife and I, and a bunch of other brothers and sisters were appointed in our fellowship. At that time, we were called geographic sector leaders. We were charged with evangelizing a certain section of the world. We were to raise up the men and women and to target the cities and the countries that we had been given the responsibility for. I don't even remember where the appointment took place. But I do remember that when we all appointed GSLs, we all given a cup. It used to be very shiny. And it had our names on it. It says GSL. This one says East Africa. That was East Africa region. And in Romans 15:20, which reads, it has always been my ambition to preach Christ where he hasn't been known. So I would not be building on somebody else's foundation.
Damien also got one like this. We were in charge of East Africa. He was in charge of the Caribbean. All the churches that exist there now, Jamaica, Barbados, Bahamas, St. Vincent, Grenada, Suriname, Dominican Republic, Damien and Carleen had a hand in it. And I know this morning they are hurting. When they found out he was sick, I was talking to Paul Ramsey, who serves as one of the elders in Columbia, South Carolina, and that church has been instrumental in taking care of him. Obviously, the last several months, and even over the last few years, they've been paying part of his salary so he could stay down in the Caribbean. And Paul was telling me, you know, half of Jamaica wants to come see him. And he obviously was telling me, nope, you can't come. I was very thankful I was able to go on Thursday. He was one of those guys that every conference we had, we would get together. And we had this thing going where, you know, we'd be at these conferences and he would see me first or I'd see him first and we'd start calling out to each other. And I found it very amusing with him. If he saw me first, he would try to mimic my accent. there's only one person that does that. And I see him and I go over and give him a bear hug. I didn't do one of these side hugs with him. We hugged each other from and we held each other tight. He was an incredible man of God. Incredible preacher. I can honestly tell you, Damien was the most handsome evangelist I know. You know, a few weeks ago, we had a meeting in the Atlanta for all the leaders in the Atlanta area. And I was talking to one of the brothers who's an evangelist in one of our churches. And I told him I was going to be going to go see him. And he says, tell him, pretty preacher said hello. Now that's what that brother would call Damien. He called him the pretty preacher. I said, how did he get that name? He said, you know, the first time I saw him preach, he did a phenomenal job and I went up to him. And the brother said, you know what, you are the prettiest preacher I've ever met. But the man loved God. Beautiful smile. That's him right there with his wife, Carleen. Originally from Barbados, Carleen is from Jamaica. I'll be praying for her. She's really hurting. Like I said, a few months ago, it was over here. That was an invitation for our last International Sunday. I had no idea that he was going to be gone 6 months later. I'm very thankful that I had him to myself for at least 4 days. We stayed up late. We talked. He taught my wife how to cook chicken curry. Man, that thing tastes great. And she has cooked it for me several times after that. It was just great having him. I remember several years ago having this conversation with him and saying, Damien, why don't you just move back to the U.S.? There are a lot of churches that are looking for an evangelist. He says, no, bro. I got to stay in the Caribbean. There's so much work to be done. That was his mindset. Again, I listening to the message you preached to the students last year, one of the things he said in his message, talking to the students, and I believe talking to all of us even this morning, is that God's got a big future for you. He was converted as a college student at Boston University around the same time I was. And he was talking to the students about, again, all the incredible young men and women that were converted on our campuses that went into the full-time ministry And he was asking the young guys, what are you going to do with your life? And he mentioned several brothers in our fellowship. I mean, you hear their name, you go, oh, that's the man of God. Not in a prideful way. But these are men who got passion. And Damien asked the students, says, I want to know your name. When your name is mentioned, what would you have done for God in this life? That was the question he was asking. Because one day we're not going to be here. I'm so thankful he came here 6 months ago. I'm so thankful that you got a chance to meet him. Again, I don't remember. I've been trying to get him here for years. I think I finally told him sometime last year, bro, if you don't come next year, I'm not speaking to you again. And he smiled and said, I'm coming. And he came. Took him downtown. That was at the Martin Luther King Museum, where the kings are buried. I actually took a picture of him first, and then we saw this guy. I said, please, could you take a picture of both of us? He had never been there before. And it was great just going through the whole place and just watching him, reflecting. Martin Luther King made a difference in this world. You and I as Christians, we've been called to go make a difference in this world. But the cool thing about what you and I are doing is not just for this life, we're talking for eternity. The impact that you and I have been called to go have, it's not just for this life, but for eternity. Amen. And that's the exciting part. We took that in front of CNN. There was no parking. And this was a funny one because police cars all packed up against the corner. I said, bro, we're going to have to make a run for it. We both jumped out of the car. He ran up there, did his thing, took the picture. We ran back into the car before somebody came and said anything. That's the house that Martin Luther King was born in, right down the road. See, if you go to the Hope Worldwide Caribbean website, talking about these guys, it reads, both Damien and his wife Carlene have made it their goal to plant and strengthen churches for the rest of the days God gives them in this world. Like Steve read this morning, in John 17, verse 4, I believe with all my heart that Damien has brought God glory on earth by completing the work God gave him to do. I pray that when our time comes, that God will be able to say that about us. I'm going to miss my friend. But I pray that his soul rest in peace. God bless.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us life, God. God, thank you for giving us a purpose. Father, I pray that we all throw off the sin that so easily entangles and gets us caught up in this world and run this race with perseverance, God, so that we can see you just like our brother Damien is seeing you, Father. God, I thank you. I want to thank you for his life this morning and just the impact he had on so many people, and I only got to meet him once, but I still remember that smile, and he even had an impact on me just in that one meeting, God, and I thank you for his life, and Father, I pray for all those who are hurting right now because of this death. I pray that you comfort them, comfort his family, his wife specifically. But Father, I just thank you for your love and your grace that you've poured out on us, God, and calling us into your kingdom and giving us this purpose. And I pray that you bring it to completion, God, so that we can see you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.